That's on you.
All right. Recording good. So, as of late, I've been looking into the laws of God. And as I was searching through Genesis, through Deuteronomy, I came into Leviticus and found societal laws. Today we'll be looking at Leviticus 18, the entire book, if you will, or the entire chapter. This Leviticus 18 is the societal laws for family. I thought this one would be a good place to start as any, not just because it's in context of everything else, but. Okay, that's not fair. You don't even have tabs.
Just kind of found out recently.
Oh, okay.
It opens to work into that.
Alright. Leviticus 18. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, ye shall not do, and after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do. Neither shall ye walk in their ordinances, ye shall do my judgments, and keep my ordinances, to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. None of you shall approach to any near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. Now, what is nakedness? Nakedness, as I was doing my study, I had that question pop up, and thanks to Brother Tim, I am stuck in doing word researches since, what was it, Youth Week, when he came and had us look up what come meant. Yeah. So what I found in context of the Bible throughout, it's nakedness stands for barren, shame, flaws, guilt, and the usual to be undressed. Let's see here. None of you shall approach to any is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. What does that mean? You giving the words that I gave you, what does that mean in your mind?
Don't see any of your family naked.
Oh, that's good.
Don't take the clothes off.
There's another one.
Don't
seek them out for their faults. Don't look for their flaws and don't use it against them. And definitely don't see them naked.
Yeah, don't do that.
Let's see here. The nakedness of thy father or the nakedness, the nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother thou shalt not uncover. She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife thou shalt not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness. The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, or the daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or abroad, even there nakedness thou shalt, even there nakedness thou shalt not uncover. The nakedness of thy sons' daughters, nor of thy daughters' daughters. Even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover, for theirs is thine own nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife's daughter, begotten of thy father, she is thy sister. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's sister, she is thy father's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, for she is thy mother's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's brother. Thou shalt not approach to his wife, she is thine aunt. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy of thy daughter-in-law, she is thy son's wife. Thou shalt not uncover cover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is thy brother's nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter, neither shalt thou take her son's daughter, or her daughter, or daughter's daughter, excuse me, her daughter's daughter, to uncover her nakedness. For they are her near kinswoman. It is wickedness. You know, it's kind of sad where we do look at things go out. We hear the pains, we hear the struggles of most families today, where they've had wicked people do this. Just God awful. It should not enter into our homes. You know, and I thank God that the children sitting up in those little classrooms upstairs, or even in here, things like this, it ends with them. It stops. Whole new generations, whole new possibilities, it stops. There was a point where God brought the people of Israel back under the law through Moses. Then we separated ourselves from the law. And it's getting to the point now where we will have to go back under the law. This is just a societal law for families. There's many more. I have 18, 19, 20, verse 7 through 27, 21, verses 1 through 7. There are societal laws for community, laws against defilement, and laws for the men of God. We look at the Ten Commandments as law. They are. Don't get me wrong. They are. But it goes so much further than that. It goes so much further than that. The Ten Commandments are a base. They are a foundation. These laws continue. And they will continue. Look at the pain of our brothers and sisters upstairs in the chapel. Look at the pain of ourselves and our past. Would we continue to disobey, to let our children or our children's children feel the same regret, the same sorrow, the same guilt? Or will we try and strive to bring ourselves back under the law, to bring our houses back under the law? Dale, you look like you got a face of concern. What's going on?
No, nothing. I was just reading.
Good. You know, when I listen to that one Thursday, everyone talking about their past, the pains that they dealt, my heart broke. The tears I wept were not for myself, but for everyone else. My pain is my pain, but everyone else's to me is 10 times worse. There's things that I wish no child should ever have to know. Dale, your pain is one of them. You know, there's things in this world that have developed wants, have developed it's like a drug. Sin has become the drug for the nation, has become the drug for all nations. Look at this, look at me. We've gotten into the mindset of look at me. And yet when help comes, we don't want it. We don't want their charity. We don't want helps to be helped, because that makes us look weak in our minds. That's why I chose this to have on the board. Psalm of David, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We've gotten to the point now where the laws are forgotten. They're unknown. Walk up to any household, and ask them what the Ten Commandments are. Pretty sure they'll be able to give off one, thou shalt not murder. But anything else is far from their mind. Even if you're lucky to get one out of them. Guarantee you, if you tried, most people would just slam the door in your face. Let's continue. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter. Neither shalt thou take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover their naked to cover her nakedness. For they are her near kinswoman. It is wickedness. Verse 18. Neither shalt thou take a wife to her sister to vex her, to uncover her nakedness beside the other in her lifetime. Also, thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness as long as she is put apart for her uncleanliness. Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her. And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire of Molech. Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. Now let me stop here. The biggest issue I've noticed is with this idea of gay rights. We may have lost this battle. It's never getting back to the Supreme Court. But a lot of times, when people think of gay marriage, they think of man versus man. Because in their mind, Bible doesn't say anything, and there's a lot of churches that will say this too. The Bible doesn't say anything about a woman with a woman. It says so right here. As with womankind, it is an abomination. They only quote half of it. They only quote half. Disgusting. Verse 23. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereunto. It is confusion. It's also disgusting. Let's see here. Defile not yourselves in any of these things, for in these things the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. The land is defiled. Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it. And the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth amongst you. For these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled. That the land spew not you out, also when ye defile it, it spewed out the nations that were before you. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them shall be cut off from amongst their people. Therefore, ye shall keep mine ordinance, that ye commit not any one of these abominable customs, which were committed before you, and that ye defile not yourselves therein.
I am the Lord your God. You know, and I chose this one because for most of it, it did speak out, it did speak for families, especially today. That's why I titled it, Brother Dale, Societal Laws for Family, although you read it. I worry the type of example that we allow not only ourselves, our family, but our children and our neighbors' children to see. We have, as a nation, as people, have committed all of these once again. And this was just the first chapter out of three more that I have. You know, it's sickening. You know, when I was doing this, after I finished and I was doing my study, as I was cleaning Thursday, I got the sense of what if I'm doing this hey God, look at me, look what I'm doing. I shook it off. But you know what? I can guarantee you there are preachers out there that will and do. You know, God forbid I should end up like the Pharisees, using my own intellect to warp the laws to fit me the most and use traditions as law. God set forth the laws on how we should run our lives, our families, and our communities. It's not, moreover, a sense of this is what I don't like, don't do it. It's more of a you won't do it, don't do it. You can't. It will ruin you. It'll ruin your nations, it'll ruin your families, and it'll ruin your communities. Most churches are, the idea of Christianity is hated worldwide. Hated. But the Bible says that's expected. Should any hateth you, know that they hateth me first. Christ was talking. You know, Paul said, God maketh me to be a spectacle. Which is true. They do look to see if what we have is real. They do look to see how we live our lives and how we treat our families and how we treat our neighbors, how we treat ourselves. They judge us after what they see. Kind of like the quote I had up here the past few weeks. Christ was talking. You judge after the flesh, but I judge no man. God forbid, walking away today, knowing even just this small section of the law that we should break them again. God forbid it. What is that? Because what do you think that would say to him about your stand with God? With your stand with him? You heard the laws. You heard, well, in this case, just a small section. A tidbit. Even with that knowledge, should be enough to say, okay, where do I stand? You know, when I was doing the study, I wept after getting all the way through it. Did I experience it? No. But you know what? I know that there's more children out there today, more parents, generations that have. It breaks my heart. Before coming to the church, I thought my life was just fine. You know, I thought everybody was just fine. This was people, the way they act. It's their nature. No. No, not our it's not our nature at all. We choose to do these things. We choose to break the law. Not just the laws of man, but the laws of God. It's a choice. Brother Dale, as a child, how much do you wish you could have heard this or known this? Tim, I knew you grew up with it, so you're fine. Randy, how much do you wish you would have known this as a kid?
A lot sooner than I do now.
Hottie, how about you? You know, I worry. I still worry for my brothers and sisters out there, both of blood and of Christ and of nation, of people. We subject ourselves to these things daily. Daily. Good. Poor example, but a good one. Look at the commercials over the Super Bowl. How confusing were they? It's to the point now where even small, even commercials that show up on kids' networks have some sort of edginess to them. And do you know what people say, even the parents? Two words that should have never been uttered in the first place. Sex sells. Beer commercials. I think the cleanest one I've seen was that one over the football, Anheuser-Busch, where it depicted the beer manufacturer coming from Germany into St. Louis. Gave a piece of history, but not once did I see anything of violence other than the beer itself. Not once. Gets to New York and people hate him. Gets to St. Louis and he's welcomed. Now, immigrants come over, they're not welcome anywhere. And the sad part is, we show them how we live. We show them how we live, and they want, what we have. But we're not. But in our mind, it's not good enough for us. In the standard American mind, hey, I have a wife, I have kids, I'm not happy, I'm going to go to this woman. Oh wait, this one has kids. Well, I can't really go back to my family. I know, I'll live a double life. No one will ever find out. No, they find out. They find out real quick. Hey, I got a car. You know, it's beat up, it's horrible. I'm not happy with it. So fix it. I can't. You're going to spend less money fixing it than you are going to buy a new one. You won't be in debt as much either. I'm not happy with my house.
It leaks. It reeks. Tiles are shingles are falling off. I know, why don't we just sell everything and get a new one? Oh, how about you fix up the one you have? You worked so hard to get it. The lives that we live before salvation and even now, we risk the chance of subjecting ourselves into that mindset again. Most times we do find that mindset, but we ease our way back out of it. Unsaved lives, I can tell you honestly, everywhere you walk is a path of destruction for yourself, for your family, for your community. Lead by example. By leading by example, we show them that what we have is real. We show them that our God is not one that is man-made like the common thought process of men is. You ask these other churches, who is their God? They'll give you names. Jehovah's Witness will say, our God is Jehovah. Mormons, we believe in Christ, but we think that he's an angel and not really the Son of God. Catholics, we believe in God, but we think Christ is a prophet who was converted into the Son of God upon his death. But how about you? Who's your God? And it's more than just the surface. It's more than just a name. My God controls the waters. He commands the seas. My God destroys rock. He levels plains. He raises mountains. My God gives life and he takes it away. My God performs miracles, he heals the sick, he cures the blind. My God saves. My God died for me. My God commands the armies. He commands angels. He casts out devils. He controls the atoms. He creates the atoms. My God created all things. And he can destroy all things. My God created man from clay. Breathed life into us. My God saw fit to create everything that is. He saw fit to create you, and he saw fit to create me. My God is a just God. My God is a jealous God. My God is many things, but my God is not a liar. So I ask you again. Who is your God? Brother, I don't know if you have anything to add to this, but...
Are you done?
I am. I only wanted to do the first chapter, because my study is pretty lengthy.
Go to Deuteronomy 8:2 real quick. Deuteronomy 8:2. He said something about the laws and such, and I want you to see why God gave us laws. I'm going to spiritualize it. He's talking about Israel here, but I want you to see
There's a reason why we go through things. Deuteronomy 8:2, and it says, "And thou shalt remember the way, all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what is in thy heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no." And today, that's almost impossibility, is to get people to see that they don't have the laws in their heart. It's not in their God's laws are not in our hearts anymore. They're not in our homes, they're not in our schools, they're not in society. And so God is trying to prove people. He's trying to get them to awaken to see their eyes, okay? I was just talking to somebody yesterday. I said, gosh, when I was in prison, I would sit on the edge of my bed and I would study Bibles. And I say Bibles, meaning many, for 7, 8, 9 hours a day. I could quote ESVs, RSVs, NIVs. I could quote the Quran. I knew their surahs. I could quote, you know, the Jehovah Witnesses Bibles and all. I mean, I could sit, because I would just sit there and study all that stuff. And, you know, getting into the, you know, the Nation of Islam, which, you know, the God bodies and all that stuff. And I was, you know, getting into studying the about the Indians. And so I had all that knowledge. And what I was doing was I was taking that knowledge, Tim, and I was trying to convince myself and other people that I was saved because I knew that knowledge. And knowledge was puffeth up, the Bible says. And so what God was really trying to do is he was trying to strive with me to show me, hey, no, it's not the knowledge that's going to save you. It's you understanding what you are and why you are the way you are. Does anybody know why we are the way we are? Because of our sin nature. Because of Adam, we now have a sin nature. And it's because of who we are is why we do what we do. Okay? Now, get people to see that today in America. God's trying to prove that to people in America. People say, well, if he's such a loving God, why does he allow little babies to be murdered? Why does he allow rapes? Why the abortions and so on? We can go on and on and on, the wickedness of America today. Matter of fact, the wickedness anywhere. But we live in America, so we'll leave it there. So why does God allow that to happen? He's trying to wake man up to what they really are. It's man that's doing that. You understand? It's man that's out there doing the abortions. It's man that's out there killing each other. It's man that's out there raping. It's man that are sodomites and lesbians and everything. That's what God is trying to get people to see. He's trying to prove to them, hey, you're doing this all wrong. God's not worried about what you've done against other people, Tim. He's trying to get you to see what you've done against him first. Then he'll take care of that. I have people in my family who the only thing that they see is what other people has done to them. But they cannot see what they've done against a holy God, and therefore they'll never be saved. It wasn't about what was done to me as a child, Eric. That was important to God, okay? It wasn't out of God's heart. It wasn't that he wanted me to go through that because he's a cruel God. That's not why. The point is God had to get me to come to that point where I was seeing what I was sinning against him, what I was doing against him, why I was the way I was. And guess what? When I finally seen that and got saved, all that stuff that them people did to me, God healed that. But there's never going to be a healing in your life, Tim, until you can see what you do to God and why you do it. Okay? Until you can understand why you're doing what you're doing, the things that you think. It's not the outward appearance. People can look great on the outside. They can look clean and healthy and all that. But God, Jesus Christ says you need to worry about cleaning the inside first. Because the inside is still full of dead men's bones. And how does he do that? Over and over again, we see in the Word of God, did that bell ring?
Yeah.
Okay. Over and over again, we see in the Word of God that the law is a schoolmaster. What is a schoolmaster? You got to go look and study that word. A schoolmaster is somebody who brought you from one place to the next. Your fourth grade teacher was your schoolmaster to bring you to fifth grade. Okay? Your fifth grade teacher was your... So the law brings us from the law, shows us what we are, condemned underneath that law to Jesus Christ. And then the very next verse says, after faith came, we no longer needed the law. Okay? We don't have to live by that law anymore. The law is fulfilled in Jesus Christ, in us. We have Jesus Christ, it's fulfilled in us. And now guess what? That's how we're going to start living our life. Not because we're under bondage to the law. We're not. We're free from the law. We've been free. That's gone now. But now we live under Jesus Christ. And so just because we get saved, people think, well, we can just go out there and do anything we want. Paul says, God forbid, don't use that for a cloak to sin. Don't use your liberty to go out there and do it. No, you're still bound to Jesus Christ. Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost and it's bought with a price? We're bought with blood. So no longer are we to ourselves, but now we're attached to Jesus Christ and now we're under him. And so all that, going back to all that nakedness and all that kind of stuff, nakedness, it starts in the homes, okay? That's where the destruction is in the homes. There's no more boundaries to those little kids anymore. Little kids, Audie's age and younger, or even older, are seeing mom and dad half naked and all that. Them boundaries should never be crossed at this day and age. I am an absolute stickler for nakedness in my home. I don't even allow, I mean, not even an inkling of it. We don't show legs, we don't show any of that stuff in my house, because then boundaries are crossed, and then boundaries create harmful things. Okay? And that's what that's talking about. That nakedness is a dangerous thing to be playing with. And it's starting in the homes, guys. Ladies, it's starting in the homes. Just so you know that. And then you see it spilled over into the public schools. You see it spilled over into the workplaces. You see it spilled over into the church. I was just reading the news where a preacher, for the second time, has been convicted in less than a few months of molesting little girls in his church. Just want you to know that. And it starts in the homes. Okay? Watch that nakedness, man. It's important that you watch that kind of stuff. Don't pull it. Don't get yourself involved in it. But God's trying to prove to America, you know, and I'm going to say this and I'm going to close. How widely accepted is nakedness today in America?
Too much.
Okay? We know that. God's trying to prove that to people. Okay, do you have a problem with nakedness? Is there something in your life? Put them guards up, okay? So that's it. We're done. Thank you, guys.